D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5, the game. Gotta love Depeche Mode. Good call, Willie Donick. Good call.
Yes. A little Techno Friday today.
A little Policy of Truth?
DJ Will. Yeah. Policy of Truth?
I know my Depeche Mode.
Oh, you know your Depeche Mode? What album is this on?
Is this Violator?
Yes! Nice job,
there
Adam.
There we go.
A plus.
Chad Withrow did not know that. I guarantee you Chad Withrow did not know that.
Withrow on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Are you a Depeche Mode fan, Chad Withrow?
I am a Depeche Mode fan, but I'd have to Google album names to try to just throw one back at you guys. The Violator pool was quite impressive.
That was impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
I guess that one.
Adam was maybe 0 years old.
I knew that was Depeche Mode. So that's one for me. When I heard the music, I'm like, oh, that's Depeche Mode. So that's at least nice. And I am a fan, but I couldn't give you the album.
That album, by the way, was released 5 days before my first birthday.
I figured that's about right.
But let's talk Titans, Chad. Titans at Raiders in Las Vegas. That's where Derek is, by the way, on Sunday afternoon. It feels kind of weird to say this, Chad, when you're looking at a game between a 1-4 team and a 1-4 team. But this feels like a pivotal game for the Titans, and specifically Brian Callahan, to prove that they can build off of an improbable win last week. Do you share the same feeling I do about this game from the Titans' perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of follow-up games to what was one of the most improbable wins of the year by any team against Arizona. Yeah, I think the first thing I thought was, will the Titans actually be favored in this game? When I saw what the Raiders were doing against the Colts last Sunday, now they're not. I think it's a 3.5-point favorite for the Raiders.
I'm surprised at that. Are you, Chad? I could be wrong, but it's 3.5 seems a little much. This to me feels more like a pick 'em game.
Yeah, I think if it was, you know, if the game is in Nashville, and I know it's not a huge, you know, home field advantage right now for the Titans, but if the Raiders had to travel across the country, I'd say maybe it's, you know, Titans minus 1.5 or a pick 'em. 3.5 did feel a little odd, especially now with no Brock Bowers, we know, for the Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very winnable game for the Titans. And I think for Brian Callahan, if you can just show, hey, we're not the worst team in the league, right? Like right now the Jets are 0-5. The Giants last night got to 2-4. You know, if you can get into that mix that it looks like things are improving, and especially for Cam Ward, that's only going to serve Brian Callahan well. And I think that's the goal now. You know, it's not like they're going to turn around and be a playoff team this year or anything like that, but can you look like you're making marginal improvements with the roster that you have, given the injury situation, but most importantly, is your rookie quarterback getting better and better? And if that's the case, then, you know, maybe Brian Callahan ends up having a shot.
Chad, we were just talking about the Giants' win on Thursday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles last night, 34-17. Not to disregard Cam Scatabu's 3 touchdowns, which I am calling the scat trick. But Jackson Dart, 195 passing yards and a touchdown, 13 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. How does Jackson Dart's performance last night make you feel about Cam Ward?
Well, he looks a lot better than Cam Ward. Now, what we don't know is that a coaching issue? Is that a personnel issue? Obviously, Cam Scatabu is a great player. And you know, you see a guy, he's drafted like in the low 100s. And I'm thinking, how does this happen with someone as productive as he was in college? Not that we couldn't see this, that he could be a productive player in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great for Cam Ward when Jackson Dart can get in. And I think they're 2-1 now with him as the star for the Giants. So it's been a huge improvement. But, again, I don't want to say that this is all on Cam with whatever's going on with the Titans. But I know Jonathan Hutton, who you guys have on, also threw this stat out. Cam Ward was like 15 of 40 in the last game and a half up until the fourth quarter on Sunday. And then he has that great drive and gets it going late in the game. But just a miserable stretch for him in the offense. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at rookie quarterbacks right now, Jackson Dart is off to a much better start than Cam Ward.
Chad Withrow is with us. So, Chad, we've had this debate earlier this week. And I think when they botched the field goal and had that debacle against the Colts, I think a lot of people right there basically said, that's it. He's dead man walking, Callahan. And then, of course, he gives up the play calling duties, et cetera. So do you think there is a pathway for him to be the coach to start next year?
I think that there is. I think the odds of him actually navigating that pathway, Willie, effectively, is extremely low based on what we've seen. First off, the roster works against you. Jeffrey Simmons is having a hell of a year. And that's one guy you can look at and say, okay, he's doing what he needs to do, and even then some. I think he's been incredible so far this season. Outside of that, it's tough to look around and say, boy, you got these guys who are either playing to their level or above their level where you need them to be. And that ultimately is a Brian Callahan problem as well. So, yeah, look, I think there is a path for him to win enough to where – look, I wouldn't think this. I think they need to move on at the end of the year regardless. But let's say they go, I don't know, you know, 6-11. Let's say 7-10 at the end of the year. There is a world where Amy Adams Strunk could look at that and say, boy, they started terribly. They got a bunch of breaks at the end of the Arizona game, but they pulled it together and started winning some games. And the quarterback looks good and got better as the year went on. We're not going to replace that quarterback's OC and head coach with someone new and start a new system. Is that going to happen? I don't think so. I don't think there's any way they're going to win that many games. So I think he's done at the end of the year. But, I mean, we've seen crazy things happen in sports before where the Titans were handed that game by Arizona and they end up winning it in the end, and then things start to fall your way a little bit. Maybe that happens with this team, but I just don't see it.
Let's switch to college. You've got the big Red River game tomorrow, another spotlight game for Arch Manning, and it hasn't gotten better yet. We had this conversation before the season started about just how this would go, how Tennessee fans feel, SEC traditional fans feel. This is really unfolding in a way that I did not expect at all. What are we going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, it's crazy. Not just Arch Manning, too. I mean, the thing about the quarterbacks, Willie, that we thought we knew were good coming into this year, Garrett Nussmeier, I know he's got the abdominal injury and he struggled. DJ Lagway struggled up until last week. Cade Klubnik got worse from one year to the next. It's amazing to see guys that not a lot changed around them, but yet they got worse quarterback-wise from one year to the next. Arch Manning's been a huge disappointment. I see Texas favored in this game, and I'm thinking, well, Vegas must know that John Mateer is not going to play. Even though there's a lot of questions about his availability, I don't think he's going to be 100%, and he probably won't even play. So if that happens, then, yeah, I think Texas probably has an advantage, but I don't think anyone could have seen their offense looking this bad this year. I mean, think of it from a Vanderbilt perspective. I came into the year thinking, oh, that's definitely a loss for Vandy at Texas. And then I look at it now, and I think Vandy played with Texas a year ago. This Texas team looks far worse. That's a winnable game for Vanderbilt now. So Texas is rough. I mean, they rushed for 11 against Florida last week. They're rushing for like 2 yards per carry. Their offensive line is a turnstile right now. It looks really bad for Steve Sarkisian, and it's kind of hard to explain given what they were able to accomplish last year.
We've seen some very bizarre games over the years between Tennessee and Arkansas. Now, D-Mace has picked Arkansas in the underdog picks, Chad. I know you have probably been made aware of that because D-Mace carries weight around this town.
Yes.
But you always talk about, you know, avoiding the bad performance at the wrong time if you're Tennessee. How does this one shake out to you with Bobby Petrino at the helm?
Well, I think, you know, I would feel a lot better about D. Mason's pick if this game was in Fayetteville, first off. I think the difference here is Josh Heupel's 25-2 over the last 4 seasons at Neyland Stadium. Those 2 losses were to Georgia, both of them. Hasn't lost to anybody else. So he's been really good in Knoxville. Look, Arkansas is tough to figure out because they haven't had a single issue on offense all season up until that Notre Dame game where they get blown out. And it's the end for Sam Pittman. So I don't know what Bobby Petrino really changes on offense, given their production so far has been really good. I mean, they're going to go for a few more fourth downs. They're going to try an onside kick. They might try a fake punt in this game with nothing to lose. So maybe the play calling, you know, gets a little bit dicier for them. But to think that their defense, which has been awful all season long, you're going to fire three defensive assistants and suddenly be good on defense, I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. Now, Tennessee's going to have to score a lot of points in this game. I mean, Arkansas will score. Tennessee's defense has some holes, especially at safety. So I think they're going to have a hard time holding Arkansas down. But I think Tennessee can name their score offensively. If they don't turn the ball over a bunch, Tennessee's going to do whatever they want offensively in this game too. So, look, crazier things have happened. We saw Nico and UCLA beat James Franklin and Penn State a week ago as a 24.5-point underdog. This wouldn't be that wild to happen, but I just have a hard time seeing how all these changes are going to lead to the team playing inspired, you know, under the great motivator Bobby Petrino, and suddenly we see a different defense out there tomorrow for Arkansas.
We'll talk with Chad Withrow discussing college football as well as the NFL. Now, with looking at the SEC, do you consider Alabama the cream of the crop right at this moment, or do you think there will be continued jockeying for that position as the season goes on?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M's got something to say about that, D-Mace, when I watch them. That's an interesting game tomorrow for them with Florida, who seemed to get a little bit of their swagger back against Texas. Yeah, look, the way they've played the last few weeks, I put Alabama right up there. You know, Oklahoma, can they win? If they beat Texas with a backup quarterback, I think we're talking a lot more about Oklahoma. This is also the game that Kalen DeBoer loses, right? He doesn't lose the big games. He beats Georgia a year ago. They go to LSU and they blow out the Tigers a year ago. This year they go to Georgia and win. They beat Vandy in a big spotlight game where College Game Day's there. Looked pretty good doing so. This is the game, though. You know, they go to Missouri and lose. They go to Oklahoma a year ago as a big favorite and lose the game. So I'm watching this game and the game at South Carolina. I think they're going to be ready and play well against Tennessee and in Tuscaloosa next week. But I'm kind of circling these two games as big tests for Alabama.
Now, switching back over to the NFL, how do you think eventually this team looks when they get healthy? Spears came back last week, still look rusty, obviously, but the more and more he can play, I think, the better he will get. You got JC coming back this game. So as these guys that they've counted on start to come back, how do you think this sort of ends up for the Titans? Do you think they will still be sort of the team that, yeah, they got a few players, but they just did that the roster's still not there? Or do you think there can be some improvement with those guys coming back?
I mean, I think there's going to be some improvement with those guys coming back. They're better players than who's been playing so far, especially with Latham coming back. But, I mean, how much better can they get? I don't know. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we talk so much about Cam Ward, but Io Manor, you know, how does he continue to progress? Like, I want to see how these guys, the Titans have some guys they probably need to trade and get either younger assets or draft picks for that I'm not as concerned about. But I'm really concerned about Gunnar Helm as an example. Let's see what we got with Gunnar Helm. Let's see what we got with Alec Iremanner. I'm looking at those guys if I'm the Titans and thinking, can we build around these players? Skoronski is playing well, as an example. Let's look at what we have and what we feel good about. And I think some of these guys, like a Tajay Spears coming back, you can now look at them and say, all right, do we want to go to war with these guys moving forward? Or is this just part of the purge that's bound to happen with the coaching staff and everything else? And I think that's what, if you're Mike Borgonzi, if you're Chad Brinker, if you're the front office, and if they're the ones making the decision moving forward, we don't know until after the season. But if they are, you really got to take stock of what you have on this team. And to be able to know, you need these guys to be healthy and playing. So I think that's the biggest benefit, is now you get to see them in more games because they're not going to be sidelined.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donahue. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always, my friend. We will catch up next week.
Always fun, guys. Have a great weekend.
You as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. We'll also look ahead to some of the action in the SEC this weekend. A lot of intriguing matchups in that conference. 615-737-1025. D-Mace Vingan and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. You can get that free estimate right now at BAXHomeworks.com.